5 minutes after the hour, welcome back to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Joining me now, talking all things Colorado Buffaloes, the voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. Mark, when you wrapped up, you stepped away from that game, Buffs, Texas A&M last week, were you more or less like, hey, that was amazing. We hung in there. This Buffs team hung in there with the top five team in the country. Or were you walking away going, wow, what a missed opportunity?
Well, I think there was a couple of things. Number one, it was a missed opportunity because it was a very winnable ball game. And number two, I've said on your show, I think the Buffs are a pretty good football team. And I walked away going, number one, that's a excellent defense Colorado was built. Chris Wilson has been outstanding as a defensive coordinator. And then, you know, I thought, okay, boy, if they can get that offense to grow up, in particular that quarterback position to grow up, this team can really make some noise. So, yeah, you're disappointed because it's a missed opportunity. They, you know, when the touchdown was pulled off the board on the fumble by their quarterback, Calzada, I looked at Gary during commercial break. I said, if we get two first downs, we win a ball game. Well, they couldn't get two first downs. They couldn't burn any time off the clock. And so I was a little concerned. You can't expect a defense, no matter how good it is, to continue to shut a high-powered offense down the way they did the entire ball game. So, yeah, I think those are my two thoughts. Missed opportunity, bummed out about that. Man, this team could be really good.
You said it. Defensively, you could have the greatest defense in the country, but no matter what, you get offenses, you give them more opportunities. Offenses have the upper hand anyway. It's just how the game is. So you give them opportunities, they're gonna find a way, and they finally did. But you're right. This defense, Mark, I mean, they could be, when it's all said and done, one of the top defenses in the country, certainly in the Pac-12.
Well, I think so. I mean, I love what Chris Wilson's doing. I love he's simplified everything. He makes them aggressive up front. They're young in the best secondary. But, you know, Gary said it during the broadcast the other day. He said Christian Gonzalez is a superstar in the making. I mean, he's the next guy in that list of Chido Bayouzie and Jimmy Smith and Akella Witherspoon and Isaiah Oliver and all those NFL guys that the Buffs have recently sent to the National Football League. He's in that making. Mekhi Blackman, the other side, is extremely solid and has got a chance. And then they've got some young guys that are coming up behind him. So I really like this team. Now, we you know, the Buffs have got to find a way to get Brendan Lewis to grow, and that's not an easy thing to do. And you know, last week they ran the ball effectively for the second week in a row, so they can do that. However, things kind of dried up in the second half in that regard. And what teams are going to start doing, and you're seeing it, they're saying, okay, we know you're good up front. That offensive defensive lines, by the way, look like they're outstanding. And we know you can run the football. We're going to do everything we can to force you to throw the football. And that's what is going to continue to happen. I guarantee that's what Minnesota's going to do on Saturday. Well, when they come to town at Folsom Field, is they're going to force that young quarterback to make some plays. And that's where not only he's got to grow up, but from an offensive system standpoint, with Darren Cheverini and the guys in the offense, you know, then they've got to start figuring out ways, whether it's creative to give him an easy pass early on, that he begins to build some confidence, or they look for just creative ways, jet sweeps and tunnel screens and those kind of things, to get guys the ball in space, you know, swing passes out of the backfield to Jerry Broussard or whatever it might be, just ways to get him going, because teams are going to start adjusting and make it very tough for you to run the football.
Yeah, and that's you know, where you're really asking a lot from Brendan Lewis early on. You're saying, hey, we need you to you know, essentially grow up fast, right? You need him to be able to make those throws, and because as good as this rushing attack is and this line could be going forward, like you said, If you're loading up that box and you're daring a quarterback to beat you, at the end of the day, he's going to have to do it.
Yeah, he's got to make some plays at some point in time. And listen, he's a talented kid. I mean, he runs the ball very well. He's got great feet. We've seen that a number of times. He can make throws. You've seen that. Here's the issue for fans that are going, well, holy cow, how hard can it be? Well, what happens is you get out there and everything speeds up. You've done it in practice. Sure, you've done it in practice, but now it's for real. And unlike last year jumping into the Alamo Bowl, you've got teams that are preparing for you now. He came in last year late in that game. That's why I didn't go nuts over that. I know people are like, holy cow, Brendan Lewis was the man. Hold on a second. Just pull back in the reins here a little bit. He came in. Nobody knew anything about him, and he came and made some plays. Okay, now teams begin to say, okay, now we know what this kid is all about, and we start to defend him. And you know, that's why you're seeing what you're seeing. I mean, it's just like anybody who's ever done play-by-play for a game. You know, when I did it, when I first started this way back in, you know, in 19, whatever it was, 89 or 90, whenever I started doing this, those games were moving 10,000 miles an hour. and your head's just spinning because it's happening so fast. And now 2021, you know, I can be half asleep and call a ball game, because sometimes I am, to be honest with you, because everything slows down, right? You get used to it. And so that's what you're seeing with Brendan Lewis right now, and that slowing down process they're hoping comes sooner rather than later.
Well, with a great defense, you know, if they can continue to make huge stops, you get that run game going, maybe that will allow them some time to, or allow Brendan Lewis some time to grow. I thought it was interesting on the ranking side, Mark, and this says a lot about the Buffs. The Aggies only moved down two spots after losing to Colorado. So to me, that says, you know, because we thought, okay, well, what if the Buffs win? What if they keep this thing close? Is the national rhetoric going to be, well, what's wrong with Texas A&M? Doesn't seem to be the case, at least if you're looking at the rankings.
No, exactly right. You know, and I think they look at the fact that Colorado played that well. This was not a fluke. It was not because A&M came in and turned the ball over five times. You know, the week before they had four interceptions and one fumble, I believe. So they had five turnovers, right? And so against Kent State. And so, you know, people look at that and go, well, you know, A&M didn't play very well and this and that and on and on and on. And, you know, that's why the game was relatively close. That was not the case here. This was a high-level college football game. There were not a lot of turnovers. There were not a lot of penalties. It was clean. And so I think everyone came away from that ball game and said, boy, Colorado must be a pretty darn good football team, because we all think A&M's a really good football team. And the Buffs stood toe-to-toe with them and bled for, you know, 57 minutes and, you know, whatever it was, 19 seconds or whatever it is before it finally got away from them. And I'll tell you this. Here's another little bit of insight. We talked about Haynes King, their highly regarded quarterback, and he went out, of course, with a lower leg injury, and Calzado came in. And I'll tell you this. Gary Barnett, when we get through the first segment of the second of our pregame, Gary always goes down to the field, and he wants to go talk to the coaches. He wants to eyeball the players. He comes up before kickoff, and I said, what'd you find down there? And he says, holy crap, their backup quarterback can throw the ball. Hmm. And I said, really? He goes, oh, yeah, he throws it a lot better than the starter does. And I'm saying, so when King went down on that ball game, I looked at Gary and he says, I'm not sure this is a good thing.
Wow. Right?
So anyway, I think you're right, though. People realize Colorado's a good football team, yeah.
I think that's interesting, too, because you're getting people say, well, the quarterback, let's face it there. I mean, he's a young guy, too, so I don't know that Texas A&M fans are necessarily 100% saying, oh, we've got the QB.
No, I don't think so. I mean, you know, Haynes King comes in with all the accolades, but we know what that means, right? I mean, that means absolutely nothing until you do it. And the Calzado kid, you know, was a pretty highly regarded kid as well. And he's only a sophomore, so you got one freshman, one sophomore there. They're young quarterbacks, but I'll tell you this, Calzado can throw it, and we saw it. And Gary, listen, there's one thing Gary really knows, is offensive football. That's what he did his entire career. And when he came up and said that, I said, really? And he goes, oh, man, holy cow, does he spin it. And so we kind of knew before the kid even came in and Haynes King went down that, you know, this guy can throw the football. And so he certainly did. Found some, you know, obviously found the wide receiver, the running back, rather, Spiller in the corner of the end zone for that game winner. But, I think you come away this feeling okay. I know there was disappointment by CU fans, and there should be. But you come away and say, okay, now we think this team is a good football team. And now let's go and prove it on Saturday when Minnesota comes to town.
Yeah, Minnesota. Let's turn the page looking at that football team. They're pretty salty. And I think, was it week one? They gave Ohio State a pretty good football game. So, I mean, this is a solid team coming in on Saturday.
Yeah. But what did they do? I think they exposed Ohio State, and then Oregon went in and cleaned it up, right?
Wow.
And so I think Ohio State's not exactly what they thought where they were. Now, I'll say this about Minnesota, and Tuesday nights is when I really started jumping in and really started getting a look at them. So last night I finally started getting into them. I'll tell you this. They're enormous up front, and they're old, Brady. And what I mean by that, they've got their entire front five is about 315 or 320 or bigger. They've got a guy that's about 6'8", 6'9", about 380 on the right tackle. They're an enormous team, and they go redshirt senior, redshirt senior, redshirt senior, redshirt senior, senior across the front line. So there's some guys who play some football. And that quarterback has played a lot of football as well. So they like to run it. They're a team that's very similar to the University of Colorado. They want to run it. They've got a solid defense. There's still some questions for them on the defensive side because teams have been able to move the ball against them. So, you know, we'll see what that's all about on Saturday.
Man, watching, going back to defense, Mark, because I could talk about this Buffs defense all day. Nate Landman is just, every time you watch him play, he's as good as advertised. And I can't believe I still do this, but I'm in awe. I mean, some of the plays he was making, he is so quick to the football. I mean, it's fun to watch.
ridiculous. I mean, in what it is, and I've told this story many, many times, his freshman year, Chad Brown, the great Chad Brown, 15 years in the NFL, All-Pro, and on and on and on, he's doing the sidelines for us one game during commercial break. He goes, hey, who's this number 53, right? Kid's a freshman. I said, Nate Lamb, some kid out of California. I said, I think they think he's going to be pretty good. He goes, that guy never makes a wrong decision. He's there every time. And now he's growing into a man's body, of course. And so, yeah, I tell, you know, it's like I used to say with McKinley, right? I say the same thing about Nate Lamb. Enjoy him, Bus fans, because these kind of guys don't come around all that often. I mean, he's going to leave here as one of the great linebackers, and that's saying something to Colorado. You know the great linebackers they had, two Butkus Award winners. He's in that group. Enjoy him, because a lot of those guys, like I said, don't come around very often.
Yeah, no question about it. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, joining us. Wanted to get your take on the USC situation, moving on from Clay Helton after 2 weeks. And here we go with the rumors with Urban Meyer, who the Broncos are going up against Jacksonville this weekend. What's the over-under? What are the chances there that Urban Meyer is the next head coach for USC?
Well, isn't it interesting? I mean, here he embarks, you know, jumps back into the coaching world. And just a couple of weeks in, all of a sudden his name's being floated out there. Eric Bieniemy's name's being floated out there. Yep. Now, wouldn't that be fascinating? Since Mike Bone hired Eric Bieniemy along with John Embry at CU, then fired them after two seasons. So you wonder how that could possibly work. And it's always been an attractive job, obviously. It's one of the blue bloods in college football. It's a big, big job. They probably should have fired Clay Helton last year. I'm always, you know, and I don't want to be a Monday morning quarterback, but these situations when it looks bad and you're thinking this probably is not going to get any better, and then they go, well, let's try one more year. The Buffs did it with Dan Hawkins years ago, and everyone knew it was coming. You knew it was coming. It was just a foregone conclusion they're going to make a change, and this kind of had that feel to it. And so, you know, Mike probably wishes he probably would have made that decision back, you know, after the football season last year. But it's a great job, and you know what? I hope they hire a terrible coach.
Well, I mean, okay, so Urban Meyer comes out and says he's no way, but we've seen this before. Can we trust that? Can we really believe him?
Well, you know, here's the thing about it, and you know, I've met Urban Meyer. I don't know Urban Meyer, and certainly haven't talked to him in a long, long time. And so I don't know what his feel is about the National Football League. You know, Nick Saban went to the NFL and came back, and so there are guys that are great college coaches that get a taste of the NFL and think maybe this just isn't for me. They do have the number one pick in the draft, right? Who maybe didn't look that great last week, but is going to be a great quarterback in the NFL, and there is promise there. And so you wonder, does he stick with that and not have, you know, he left college football on a couple of occasions because of the hours and all the stuff you've got to do. In the NFL, you don't have to recruit. You don't have to do that garbage. And you just coach ball, and that's all you do. And so the guys I know and who've gone back and forth, there are some guys that like the recruiting aspect of it. Other guys just despise it, but it's part of it, so that's why they stay in the NFL. And so that's the aspect of Urban Meyer I don't know about. So that'll be interesting to watch. And also the Eric Bieniemy thing is going to be real interesting to watch.
Yeah, Mark Johnson joining us, the voice of the Buffs. Well, what are your thoughts on this Pac-12 so far? You said it, Oregon gets that huge win. They're now a top five team in the country. You've got UCLA looking pretty good, Arizona State, and obviously the Buffaloes. So far, at least the top four or five teams looking pretty good in the Pac-12.
Yeah, I think so. I think everyone was very surprised by Stanford just, you know, slapping the snot out of USC last week, which brought them then, of course, the firing. But, you know, Oregon is for real. UCLA, I think, is very good. Now, you know, we'll wait and see. That's one impressive win. Let's see what happens coming off the bye week now as they are this weekend. And so we'll wait on that. Colorado is going to continue to prove itself, and you get a win against Minnesota at home this weekend. You're sitting at 2-1. You look very, very good. Arizona State, I'm a little bit of a wait and see with Arizona State, you know, with all the offseason turmoil they've had, and so we'll wait on that. There's a lot of other things going around the Pac-12 that have not been real impressive. It hasn't been a great start to the season, obviously, about the league. And so I'm kind of a wait and see kind of guy with a lot of that kind of stuff. But I think right now, the four teams we just talked about, you look at and say, I think they're all pretty darn good. But potentially great with Oregon.
Well, the Buffs got a big one coming up, and certainly it seems like a tough one coming up against Minnesota on Saturday. Mark, what time do you guys get rolling with everything?
It's breakfast with the Buffaloes there. We got a 9 a.m. pregame, 11 o'clock with the kickoff, so an early one between the Buffs and the Gophers. And I understand it's going to be very close to a sellout. Ralphie will be running again, and so a lot of excitement around that one this weekend.
Yeah, Ralphie got a break. I understand it, too, not putting him or putting her in Denver, of course.
Well, I talked with Taylor about it, and they were saying, you know, she ran so well in the first game, and she runs that semicircle, obviously, from one corner to the other. And they didn't want to mess with her in this learning process because at Empower Field a Mile High, they don't let her run the semicircle. She has to run a diagonal across the field. I thought, you know what? We don't want to confuse her. Let's leave it alone. And then next week with Minnesota, we'll do the semicircle. She'll get that down again and continue to train her. And then when she's a little bit older, maybe we can do the diagonal on some neutral field somewhere.
You got to ease her into it, Mark.
Exactly,
you gotta,
right.
That's what you got to do. I'm no expert, but that's what I've been told anyway.
Yep.
Mark, appreciate you, man. And we'll be looking out for you this weekend.
All right, ready to.
All right, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Great defense. Certainly concerns, though, about Brendan Lewis right now. Are the Buffs a six-win team? I'm starting to think so, but this offense has to, you know, Brendan Lewis has to prove that he can move the ball down the field because, Mark said it, defenses are going to just start loading the box to try to stop this rushing attack. They got Minnesota this week. Mark just said he wants to wait and see about Arizona State, that's going to be tough. So you got two games in a row. It's going to be pretty difficult. Then USC. So we're almost getting into conference play here, folks. And so I know this is a big one for Colorado going forward. I think they are going to win six games. I certainly think this team could be a bowl team now based on what I've seen. 22 minutes after the hour, let's take a short break. Let's talk a little bit more about quarterbacks in college around the area. Dylan McCaffrey, Todd Senteo, a lot of pressure on him to try to produce. He's had some good games, though. He's had some decent games. It's just this offense as a whole is just not clicking. When the pass game's going, they can't get the run game going. When the run game's going, can't get the pass. So we'll talk about that next. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
Things Rams football, tune in to Rams Weekly, Thursday nights at 5 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.